The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Chulin. Masechet Chulin has been dedicated by our good friend, Mr. Joey Jamal, and his wife, in honor of their son's Jack engagement to Shirley Sutton. Bazat Hashem, she get married, Bisha'at Tova Umuslachat, and Zechut of the Limud that we are going to have for the next several months in Masechet Chulin. They should enjoy a lot of nachat, shalom bayit, peace, prosperity, and all the berachot. Amen. Daf Yud Chet. Today's daf is being studied in Mishmat Avraham ben Esther. Rabbi Moshe ben Nun, Aruach Hashem Tenihamet began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Le'atzlachat Yaakov ben Yosef. We begin today's daf on Yud Zayin Amud Bet, right in the middle of the daf. It's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines down after they start getting wide. Right in the middle of the Amud. The beginning of today's daf talks about the law of checking the knife before the shechita to make sure that there are no pegimot, that there are no notches. B'ma'araba, in the west, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Batkila Bishimsha, they would check the knife Bishimsha in the sun. What do you mean they check it in the sun? So look at Rashi. Keep one finger on Rashi. Bishimsha is five lines down in Rashi. Bishimsha, notim ota b'shemesh v'ro'eh b'chuda. They put it in the sun and they look at the point. Repeat B. Shna harina holech u'ma'amida b'shemesh chuda lemala mustakel be. Sila shel sakin, v'im yesh pegam b'sakin nikaru b'tzel, sh'ama nechnes b'pegam. He places the knife by the sun. He places it down, and he looks at the knife, and he sees the shady part of the knife. There's the shady part of the knife. That's where the pegam is. So he uses the sun to find out where the pegam is. B'nehardea bad kula b'maya. In Nehardea they would check the knife in the water. When they do that, and she says, "Bemaya hofech chuda lemata umolicha al pnei amayim v'nogah meat v'imesh pegam oketz ose kimin haritz b'mayim b'alichata." Seems that they would just draw it through the water. So if it's smooth, you'll see the water; nothing happened to it. But if there's a little pegam, it'll create a little movement in the water, which they know that the knife isn't totally straight. Makes a little movement in the water. Harit b'mayim. Nishna harin hofech chuda lemana ve'ohaza b'yadu b'shipu arosha. Lemata umatif al chuda b'etzbo mishpam begam nuflim sham v'nyuklim lech adrosha. So you see, they would take a drop of water and put it on the knife. And they just turn the knife downward and the water would drip from the bottom of the knife to the top of the knife. But if there's a pegam, it gets caught in the middle. So they can see the water, if the water has a path down the knife or not. So there's two ways to check it in the water. Wow. He would check it with his tongue. Yeah, run it across his tongue. Okay. Rav Acha bar Yaakov badak la b'chuta sa'ara. He would check it by cutting a hair. Besura amre besra achla besra lebdeka. At the end of the day, you're eating meat, therefore you should check it. You should check it with meat. Which is bottom line, the animal, it's meat that you're cutting. So the best way to check the knife if it's kasher or not is through meat. Rashi writes, Bisra achla, hi ba'a lachtok basar, meaning you're coming to not eat, you're coming to cut basar, meaning the signs of the animal are like a flesh. Lefichach, mikan bedikata bebasar. That's why you should check it with an item that is similar. O bilishne, either the tongue, like the other rabbi did, like we saw, beresh lishna, or bebasar itzba'o, or to run it by the flesh of his finger. Im basar ze pogeya bepegam ken yifka bo basar hasiman, which means if it affects the basar, so then we can assume it will affect the siman because it's the same consistency. Aval b'davar acher lo avia bedika. But just because you checked it on something else, it's not necessarily a checking of the knife. Why? Shem medavar kasher over al pegam katan ve'eno choger, which is maybe the item is too hard that you're rubbing it against, that you're testing it on, and therefore the pegam will not come up. It will not, you know, it will not hold on to the pegam. Or davar shurach yoter, or maybe it's a very soft item, yoter midai nechnas otot pegam katan, even though that pegam will not affect the siman. So you're trying to find the most consistent item that's most similar to the simanim, which is the best test. So again, bisra achla, you're cutting meat, therefore bisra libdika, you should check it with basar. Amar papa, zricha bedika, abisra ve'atufra. So he says you need to check it with two things, over the flesh and on the nail. So you got to run by the flesh and the nail itself. Rashi, abisra basara etzpa. Okay, tufra is the nail. Now that parenthesis over there, we have to read it. Atelta ravhata, or some say atre gisne. Tre gisne means and the two sides. So you're running it on the, you're running the finger and the nail on the sharp part of the knife, and then you're rubbing it on the sides, the side of the blade as well. That she says, so atlatara fata, so it's three sides altogether. Be'emsa chudo, middle of the sharp part, ubistadin, and on the sides. The Gemara is assuming that when you make the shechita, the sides of the knife also, not the actual sharp blade itself, but the sides also get in there. So therefore, that you have to check them as well. Amar l'Ravina l'Rav Asher, Amar lach Rav Sama bered Rav Meshavshia Meshemach. So Ravina says to Rav Asher, they said in your name, the Amar tle Meshemed, you said in the name of Rava, Selicha bedika abisra ve'atufra v'atalta ruhata. So flesh and nail and sides. Three sides meaning the blade itself and the two sides. Amar le abisra ve'atufra. He told them, no, I only said on the flesh. You don't got to do it on the three sides, just on the blade part itself. Amre ve'al tilta ruhata la. So he said, but on the three sides, no. Amre ika de amre. No, amre. Amre. But again, abesaba tufra amre ve'al tilta ruhata lo amre. Which was, I said this, but I didn't say that. I just, you're quoting me wrong. I said you have to just check the knife with the basar and the nail, but I didn't say you have to check it on all the sides. Ikada amre abisra v'atufra v'atilta ruchata amre mishemed rava, which means amre. He says yes, that was said. That was just, I did say check the knife with the finger and the nail and check it on all sides. But mishemed rava lo amre. But I didn't say the name of rava. Just getting the statement accurate. Either I didn't say this, or I didn't say the name of Rava. Rabina v'Ravacha b'red Rava, havu yatve kameh d'Rav Asher. Okay, the rabbis were sitting in front of Rav Asher. Aitu sakin kameh d'Rav Asher lebutka. They brought a knife in front of Rav Asher to check it. Amar le l'Ravacha b'red Rava b'tka. Check it. Batka atufra v'abisra v'atalta ruhata. So he checked it on the nail and the thumb of the flesh and on three sides. Amar le yishar. So he told them yishar. Meaning, it's good. Or you did good. The way you checked it is you checked it in the right way. V'chen amar avkana. And that's what Afkana said also. You have to check it in that manner. Rabbi Amar Amar, Atufra v'abisra sericha. Atataruhata la sericha. Back and forth. He says, you need to check it with the flesh and the nail. But you don't have to check it on all three sides. Umi lo amar bizera, amar Shmuel. What didn't we learn earlier? Liben sakin. Remember we learned the case once a year. We're heating up the knife. When the knife was very, very hot. The shahat ba, and you use it when it was very, very hot, you made the shechita. Shechitato kishera. That's a big question. What does the shechita? Does the sharpness of the blade do the shechita? Or is the burning, does the heat do it? If the heat does the shechita, it's basul. So the Gemara says, shechiduda kodem lebuna. Because the sharpness of the knife precedes the heat, which means by the time the heat gets to the simanim, it already was cut with the blade. The kashalan ha'ikat stadim. Also, we asked the question over there. But what about the sides of the knife? The sides of the knife that are hard, or that are hot, they're going to touch the simanim before the shechita is done. And we answered that question over there at the time. Bet the shechita mervach rabach. At the time of the shechita, the place where you're making shechita widens a little, so therefore the sides will never touch the simanim themselves. Therefore it's only going to be the blades. Similarly, that's why you don't have to check the sides of the knife either. Because you only have to check the blade part. Because bottom line, by the time you make the shechita, it's going to widen a little, so the only part that's touching the simanim is going to be the blade itself. Therefore you don't have to check the sides. Amar Avuna Barav Ketina, Amar Bishmon Ben Nakish, Shalosh Pegimot Hen. In Halakha, there are three situations where we're worried about a notch, or a nick, in three different halakhot. Number one, Pegimat Aitzim BePesach. The law says you're not allowed to break a bone from the Korban Pesach. Not only can't you break the bone totally, but even if it has a notch in it, a nick in the bone itself, that's also considered a pigima, which is going to make it, which is asu to do. Pigimat ozin bebechor. We said the bechor is the firstborn animal that's born to a kosher species. So the law is, there's different. You give it to the Kohen. The Kohen brings it part of it as a Korban, and the rest of it he eats in Yerushalayim, betahara. But let's say the animal receives a blemish, so then the bechor becomes a ba'al mum. So there's different korban. No, there's different types of mumim on the bechor. In that case over there, you're able to eat it outside of Yerushalayim, the Kohen. So one of the mumim is the pegam on the ear. Okay, so that's the pegam also. There's a little nick on the ear. What else? Pegimat mum kadashim. Okay, that's by korbanot that are usually brought by a female animal. For example, korban hatat or a korban shlamim that can be brought as a nekeva. So the pegam over there is different than the pegam of a bechor, because a bechor is a zakhar. The pegam of a nekeva is all the other pegamim that happen to a zakhar, but also an additional mum, I should say, an additional mum in the womb. If there's a little nick in the womb of the animal, because that's what we're saying, nekeva, because by zakhar, there's no womb. So this is a specific mum by nekevot, behemot nekevot. So therefore, if there's a pegam in the womb of the animal, it's also going to render it pesula. That's pegimat mum kadashim. Then Rav Chasda amar, ap pegimat sakin. Oh, that's what we needed it for. The fourth one, Rav Chasda says, is the pegam on the knife. So the Gemara says, v'idach, why did the other rabbi, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, quote pegimat sakin? Those are the three pegimot. Why didn't he quote the sakin? So he says, bechodin no kamaydi. We're not talking about chodin. So I'm talking about pegams all done in the realm of hekdesh. Like the kedusha of a bechor, the kedusha of a korban, the kedusha of korban pesach. Those are all korbanot items. I'm not talking about regular. I agree there's a fourth pegam, but that's not my discussion.
Those are in the animal. This is in the knife.
That's another chiluk. Yeah. That's another chiluk. But he's saying a simple chiluk. All these are kodashim, and this is cholin. The knife pegam affects even cholin. Okay. So I'll read all these that she start from Gimel Pegimotin. The point is, and the shi'ud of the pegam is all going to be the same. The Gemara is going to explain to us what the shi'ud is. How much of a notch is a pegam?
Pegimat etzim bapesach. La'avur aleham velav, te'etzim no tishberu bom.
Good.
Pegimat ozim bebechor, le'yot bo bom nishachet alav, bebedima.
Now you can slaughter it outside of Yerushalayim.
Tetna nefkema ozno min
hasachus.
Hasachus.
From the college.
Hu adin nishar mumin shel pegimah nizkarim sham, v'kama...
Right, all the ba'alim umim is the shiur of a pegam. The reason why it chose the ear, because on the list of mumim, that was the first one that was listed over there in Bechoron. The Kamaita Nakat, it listed the first one.
בגימת מום בקדשים, נקבות כגון חטאת ושלמים שיש בהם בגימות שאינה נוהגת בבכור, עודנה נתה בבכורות, נפגם הזובן בבכור או הערבה, שפת בית הלחם
של נקבה, זה בית הלחם, that's the womb area,
במוקדשים, יתריך למנקה את האכל להשמיעינן, אף אגב דלא מנקרה בפגימה כולי היי, אפילו אחי,
which means even though the pigiman, the womb is really not so noticeable,
right,
so the Gemara is going to say that even though these pigimot are not so noticeable, the shiur is going to be the amount of pigam where you run your finger across and the thumb gets, well, the finger gets caught in the pigam, like we learned on yesterday's
time.
Right, why did it put bechor separately and it put the nekeva? Just put kadashim, all korbanot, the pigimah, all korbanot. דה בחור בחלל כל הקדושים.
אית אנא אחי.
הבה אמינה.
הבה אמינה לפסל מהקרבה הוא בכדי חגירה ציפורה מפסילה.
Which means I would have thought that if it just would have said it's pasul, I would have said it's pasul to bring it as a korban. That's what I just would have said that shiur is. אבל מום גמור.
לא הבה לשחד עליו במדינה.
Right, but I wouldn't think it's a total mum that you can even slaughter it outside of Yerushalayim. I would have said it's like a quasi thing. You can't bring it as a korban. But maybe you cannot slaughter it outside of Yerushalayim. The mumin are ben postim be behema ve'ena bechor nishchat alehen. There's a lot of mumin, but could be that the bechor is not to slaughter it outside. Because if not, ve'elu she'en shortim alehem lo be'megdash lo be'dina. Sure, in a quasi. You can't slaughter it in the Megdash, no, you can do it outside the Medina. So if I just would have said Mukdashim, I would have said, no, not for a Korban, but maybe you can't slaughter it outside of Yerushalayim either. That's why I have to say bechor separately, to say no. This pegam is a pegam, a total pegam, and therefore not only can you bring it as a korban, but you can store it outside Yerushalayim. When Achitana pegimot, was it? Right, that's what I do. Okay, so now the question is, vechulan, what's the shoot of the pegimot over here? Vechulan, pegimatan, kedem pegimata mizbeach. The shiur of pegimata mizbeach. What is pegimata mizbeach? The rocks of the mizbeach. They have to be perfect rocks. If there's a little pigam in the mizbeach, it's pasul. So whatever the shi'ud is by the rocks of the mizbeach, the stones I should say, that's the pigam over here. So the Gemara asks, "Vekama pigam at the mizbeach?" So how much is that? Well, it says, "Kedesh shetachgor ba siporin." Again, enough that the nail will get caught in it. That when you run your nail across it, it'll catch it.
The rocks are rough. What are you
doing? That's the rocks
are rough. No, the rocks of the mizbeach, they were smoothened. Which means they had to be smooth rocks that did not have any niches or nicks in them. So therefore, you run your finger across that rod, nail gets caught in there, that's the shiur. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Meti ve kama pigimata mezbeyah. What's the shiur of pigimata mezbeyah? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Yomer tefach. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says the shiur is much greater than that. To posel the mezbeyah is going to be shiur tefach. That's like a 3-inch niche. The bida of the Yaakov Amir Kizayit. Okay, also Kizayit of the stone is missing, much bigger than what we're talking about. La kasha habisida habe abna. There's two parts. There's the limestone and there's the stones themselves. Jeez. You put the stones together. Okay, there the shiur on the stone is even a shiur of where your nail gets caught in, but the lime from they placed over it to keep it connected. That in the upper layer of limestone, then it's a bigger shiur. If some of that's missing, it's not so bad. Up to a tefah or a kezai. But the stone itself is going to be even a small little nick. Nashi. Be'abna?
Be'abna. Kol du. Dichtiv avanim shelemot.
Sure. Torah says avanim shelemot. They have to be complete stones. Dilo. That's it. That's it. Okay, continue. Amar avuna. Hayta becha dilo sar sakina kamehacham. Meshabtid hanle. So Avuna says, you know, any butcher who doesn't show the knife to the rabbi before he makes the shechita, finished, hit him, put him in meshabtin on there. They put him in nidui. What does it mean nidui? Nidui, it's like he becomes a mourner. He's not allowed to cut his hair. He's not allowed to shave. He's not allowed to wash his clothes. They don't count them as a minyan. They're not allowed to walk within his four amot. So it's a regular din on him. They put him in like excommunication. But Rava says even further. Me'abirinan le. they fire him. That's it. He loses his post. He loses his position. Not only that, but they announced that his basar is terefa. No, can it? This guy over here, he didn't show it bichlal. Correct. There was nobody kav the sakin bichlal. So now the question is, one rabbi says you just make mishamtin on that. Rabbi says not mishamtin on that. You fire him. He loses his position. And you announce all this guy's meat is terefa. So Gemara says, look at that. She just saw sakina. Right, no more selling meat. So Gemara says, "Velat pidigi." There's no argument between Avuna and Lava. Kan b'shnimset sakino yafa. Kan b'shelon nimset sakino yafa. After the fact, they checked the knife. If the knife came out okay, then we just put him in nidui. We can't announce that his meat is terefa because the knife came out okay. Rava was talking about if you check the knife and the knife came out bad, oh, I get one chance. Then they fire him and they announce that his meat is of terefa. So it's no makloke. Look at Rashi. Nimset sakino yafa.
Nimset sakino yafa. Mishamtina le mishum apikiruta.
Sheosif panav. Meaning he chutzpah.
Kedekai malan minadin al kevod harav.
Oh, so that's it. It's kevod harav issue. Because he didn't show kevod to the rav, so that's a reason to put a guy in nidui. No, normally nidui is 30 days. So they put him in a nidui because she didn't go to kevot to the rav. Gemara says, that's it. Gemara says, okay. Ravina has a different understanding. Ravina aman. Hecha delo nimset sakino yafa. When they checked the knife and it didn't come out good. Memasmes le befarta. That they take the excrement of the animal and they smear the animal, which is another way of saying that we don't even let him sell the animal to a goyim. Because bottom line, the animal now is, they checked the knife came out dead. Right? So what did we say till now? The worst thing we're going to do to the guy, fire him. Fire him and announce it's terefa. But you can sell the animal to the goyim. He says, no. When the animal doesn't come out yefeh, you put the animal in the excrement, and that's it, which is a way to say you cannot even sell it to the goyim. Look at that. She be farta. Farta is perish. Perish is the excrement.
Farta.
Targum shel perish. Da'afilu. Oh, and when the knife came out okay, so obviously he's more machmir than the other rabbis. He holds when the knife comes out, no, the bad. Forget about firing and announcing a strefa. He loses his position even to benefit from the animal at all. Ve'echad de nimset sakino yafeh. Wow, so he's more machmir. And when the knife comes out good, you still announce that his meat is terefa because of a kinas. Right, but you can still sell to goyim. So the way that Avinah learns the difference of the two cases is where the sakin came out okay, you announce that everything's terefa and all that, but you can sell it to the goyim. But when the knife came out bad, then already you can't even sell it to the goyim. So he's a little more machmir than the first way we learned the case. Gemara continues. Ahu tabaha delosar sakino kamed rava bar hinnana. There was a tabaha, a shohet, that he did not show his knife to the rabbi, to rava bar hinnana. Shamete ve'abere ve'achriz abisle de terefahi. That's it, fire him. And they announced that his meat is indeed a terefa. Okay? Oh, so we'll see now. So who is he going like? Lava, like we know to quote Ravina, that even where the knife is going to be good, you're still going to punish him. Because you're going to see now. They announced, Ikle'u mozutra v'rav asher legabe. So two rabbis came to Lava bar Hanina. Amar dehu, le'aynu rabbanan b'milte. They said, well, let's check the case out. Maybe we can find a way to be lenient on the shohet. Because he has a lot of children. By firing him and taking him out of his position, he can't support his family. So they went to the rabbi and said, listen, rabbi, we know you said the guy is fired, no more, his meat is terefa, and all that, but maybe there's a way we could do something to be a little more lenient, because he has a lot of people that are relying on him. So Rav Asher checked the knife. And sure enough, it came out okay. And therefore, they let him go back into being a shochet. Okay. So obviously, they were taking the opinion like we learned originally that if the knife comes out okay, so therefore they just put him in nidui, but they don't forbid the don't forbid the meat. The first rabbi announced that was the Rabbi Bechanina. So obviously he was Mahmir. So Amar Lemur Zutra. Watch. Amar Lemur Zutra. So watch the story. So Mor Zutra tells them Asher. Velo Lihush Mor Lesaba. Which means Rabbi Bar Hanina obviously held that the knife was no good. Because he already threw the book at the guy. Rabbi Hanina was posil shechita, and you're coming along and saying it's okay? I mean, the old rabbi obviously held it wasn't good, and you're coming along and saying it's good? Amar lish lichotek avdinan. So what do you want? Where is Shaliach? Which means he told me to check the knife. He told me to do it. So it was not disrespectful if I'm saying something different than the rabbi. He told us to check the knife. Look at Ashina. Shamte ve'abre. Oh. So when he went Shamte ve'abre, he ready to fight him. He said, it's even if the knife comes out, okay. Shamte ve'abre, that you get rid of the guy. Because we had two ways of learning. Right? We had in Rav Huna, right, we had one rabbi said, Rav Huna said, Mishamtin and then Abba said, Me'abrin and then. So we said, Vela Peligi, Kam ben Emsit Sakinot Yafa. So when the knife comes out good, you just put him in Nidui, because of Kabod Araf. And we said, Kan Shalon Emsit Sakinot Yafa, then already have to put him out. Now in this case, what did he do? Shamtev Na'abre, he did both. He excommunicated him and he fired him. So that she's the customer, Kiyamar Avam Ma'abrin, and they have filled him such a kind of yafe kama. He's being ma'amire, like Rabina. Even with the knife came out, okay. They got bare. Ulai tefsulo zikhut. Maybe we can find the zikhut. Why? Tafle. Lestakir. Tarkum shel taf. Vakshele. Oh, so they found a way out. They said, the knife was okay. So if you don't have to fire him, they took the lenient way of understanding Rava, that when the knife comes out okay, you can keep him in his position. That's what they said. But you're going against that rabbi. First rabbi threw him out, and you're putting him back in. He told us to find the guy zikut. We don't have to go back and ask the rabbi. Once the rabbi says, okay, go give them a go, find the leniency to get the guy back to reinstated, that's it. Amar Rabba Bar Huna, Shen Tilusha, Vitziporin Tilusha Mutal Shot Balakat Ta'ila. What's that? That's a tooth. Shen is a tooth. A tooth that is detached from the animal. Mutar to make Shechita with it, or a Tziporin, a nail, as she says, Shen Tilusha. Shenitlash halechi mina adam, or from a human tooth, it was removed. The lechi, the whole jaw, was removed. Or mina beema, lapukim mechuberet the balechayim, lapukim mechuberet. Mechuberet if it's attached, no good. If you took the jaw out of the animal and you used the tooth to make the shaitas mutalik ta'ila. So Gemara says, "Be'alan tenan." What do you mean? We learned in the Mishnah, chutz memagal katsir. You're not allowed to use the small sickle, what do you call it, the katsir sickle, the reaping sickle, magal katsir, not the small sickle, the sickle that's used to reap with, v'amigira, nor can you use a saw, v'ashinayim v'tziporin, nor can you use the teeth, nor can you use the tziporin, the nail, mepenesh she'en chonkin, because they're going to rip the semanim, they don't make the proper cut, and now you tell me you can use them, the chetachila. Yeah, but well, let's go one at a time. Shen asher lakasha. There's no question from the tooth to the tooth. Ha, behada, ha betarte. That which Rav Huna said it's mutar is one tooth. That which the Mishnah said it's asur is two teeth. Why? Because when you have two teeth, so there's a ridge in between. So when you make the shemitah, it's going to get caught in between, and it's going to rip them. Look at Rashi on that one. She ha betarte.
The avilu tilushod mean
חי וגבוהות בלחי.
כסקים פגומה.
כסקים פגומה שיש
הפרש. Sure. Once you have the gap between the two teeth, that's going to be a problem. בחדה.
כשרב, אף אגב דאין בה רוחב הקיימלן היכד הוליך והביא. אפילו סכין כושר הוא כשרב.
Right, which means so long as you go back and forth, even though it's narrow, let's say, the tooth. But so long as you go back and forth, it'll be okay. You'll get the distance. Okay, what I say is, when it comes to the nails, ציפורן, הציפורן, לקשה. Ha, בתלושה, אבי מחוברת. The case where Rabbi Nasser is mutar, it's about the nail is detached from the animal. However, the case of the Mishnah that said it's no good, it's talking about where it's mechuber. Nashim mechuber, lebali chayim. Ki Rabbi Dabad, ed shorti mechuber. We don't know, Rabbi held that you cannot store it with something that's still attached to the animal. So therefore, the Mishnah was going like Rabbi that says mechuber is no good. And this case of Rabbi Nasser that said the nail is okay, because it was detached from the animal. Now we go to the next Mishnah.
He has to show the knife every time to the rabbi?
The first time he shows to the rabbi for kavod, and then subsequently he is trusted himself to check the knife. Otherwise, he always have to go back to the rabbi to check it. No. They show it to the gadol ha'ir before he goes to the slaughterhouse. They give it to him, he looks at it, he's okay, kasher, then he goes and he's trusted. It's more of a kavod issue. Hashuhed b'magal katsir bedelech alikata. Okay, you went one direction. Magal katsir is a sickle. Harvesting sickle. So they did it in one direction. Now, if you look at the picture of Magal sickle, it has ridges. Okay? But the ridges are coming, the point is towards the handle. Okay? So therefore, in one direction, going away from the shohet, will be okay, it won't catch, because you're going with the blade. The problem is going to be when you come back, it'll catch it. So therefore the mahlok is going to be, if you use this magal katsir, and you go in one direction, it's going to be okay. So give me a mishnah. Hashokeh b'magal katsir, b'derech alikatat, you're just going, meaning going away from the shohet. Bet shemai posli, bet shemai says still pasul. Ubet telel makshirim. But bet telel says question, we'll have to see exactly what the source of this mahlok is. Makshirim is b'di'avad. Now, if you smoothen it out, then it becomes like a sakin, no problem. Now, what's the ma'od b'chamei b'telel? So look at the sheep, magal katsir. Derech?
Magal katsir. Derech alichata, ena kor'od lebet hilel, mepnei shirosh sheha kifufim me'od.
Right, the blade is kafuf. The points are kafuf. So therefore, it's not going to cut the bent, or they're facing down. It's in the direction, so you have no problem. So we have to see the ma'lok in it. Amar b'chayah b'raba amar b'yohanan av kishikshiru betilel, which is even when betilel said kasher, lo ikshiru el tahara midin nevela. They only want to say that if you did it that way, it's not going to be tum'ah of a nevela. Aval ba'achila asura. Wow. It means even betilel didn't say you could eat it. Everybody's worried because if you're going to do this way, you might go the other way. We don't want you to get involved in this. So we must just betilel makshirim. No, it wasn't makshir to eat it. All it was matir. I'm not going to go so far to say that it's tumat nevela, but for sure, don't eat it. Does she? Aval ba'achila asura.
Asura gezerah polacha atu hova'ah.
Right, gezerah. You might go the other way, and that's going to be posel. So Gemara says, "Amar v'ashet daikan ame." You know something? The Mishnah is mituyek like you're learning. Why? Diktani, because what did it say? Bet shemay poslim ubet tilil machshirin. The language of the Mishnah was pasul and kasher. They look at any bit shemay osrim ubetilel matirim, which means if it was in yard of eating, it should have said bit shemay is osir the meat and betilel is matir the meat. And the fact that he didn't say lashon pasul and osir umutar sounds like it's like going on the meat. The lashon of isur veter is usually going on the meat. The fact that it said pasul and kasher sounds like it's going on a different situation, going on tum'ah. Look at Rashi. ולשום פסול והכשר
השחיטה
כאה. That's good. Which is the שחיטה כשרה או the שחיטה פסולה? We're just discussing the שחיטה. We're not discussing the בן שמאי פסולה. ונבלה הוא. נבלה, טומאה. ובית הלל. שחיטתו
כשרה, אף
באכילה, ולא חידוק. No, I'm sorry. That's coming up. That's coming up. We didn't really get that yet. So the first shot is from the לשון. Which means if Betilel was matir da'achila, the Mishnah would have said Isur Veter. Meaning, it's going on the Basar. The fact that he didn't use Lashon Isur Veter must be going on something else. The Gemara says, not so. According to you, that's only a Tum'a V'Tara issue. Litni B'Shemayim B'Tameim B'Tameim. So why even use Lashon Pasul V'Kasher? Say what the argument is on. Say, Bet Shammai says Tameh, and Bet Hillel says Tahol. And the fact that it didn't say that, must be it's not only talking about that. Ela poslin u'makshirim, oslim u'matrim hada miltahi. It's the same Lashon. To say Pasul and Kasher, or Isur and Mutar, is the same words. Therefore the Mishnah is even talking about Achila. Look at Ashi. Right, don't make a diyuk. If you were right, it would say Tahor Tameh. The fact that it didn't say that, and it said Pasul Kasher, guess what? Pasul Kasher, Isur Mutar, it's all the same thing. And therefore, Bet Shammai goes to the extreme. It's a Nevela, and you can't eat the meat. And Bet Hillel is going to say, it's Keshera, meaning it's Keshera. It's Keshera, not a Nevela, and it's Keshera to eat as well. Right? Big difference. Because we try to make a deal from the words. And the words don't tell us anything. If it was a Tum'ah issue, Bet Shammai should have just said, should have said Betaharim. They didn't say Betarim, they said Kasher. Kasher sounds like it's Kasher across the board. Kasher to eat. It's not a Nevela and nothing. Okay, now we get into the actual Shemitah itself. Kene and Veshet. Okay, we know that. You got to slaughter the Kene, that's the windpipe. Veshet is the esophagus. Our discussion today is the Kene. Okay, the Kene, as you'll see if you open up in your picture books, you open up page 33, just to get a picture of what the Kene is. The Kene is basically the windpipe, the trachea. Okay, that's where the animal breathes. It starts all the way up in the animal, and it goes all the way down to his lungs. That's where he does the breathing. Okay, now, it is made up of rings. We're going to call those taba'ot. But the rings are made up of cartilage. Okay? As you can see, in the under the flesh itself of the trachea, you see like rings that go around. Like a tube that stretches, that have those rings around them.
Right.
Okay? So those are the rings over there. Now, as you get closer to the head of the animal, they have a certain ring that's called taba'at gedola. That's the big ring. Okay? That's going to be our discussion. As you get higher, see it's a little thicker over there, as you get to the top over there. They call that in English the cricoid cartilage. Okay? The upper rings of the kene, the trachea, the cricoid, and the cova, the thyroid, viewed from the right side, is located in the upper section of the neck of the animal. Okay? So you see, you have the regular rings over there, and then you have here. Now, if you look at this picture, the next picture on the bottom, you will see that the rings do not go all the way around the trachea. See, the rings, they go the majority, the ring goes around the circumference of the trachea, the majority, but then it ends. Does not go around fully of the trachea. Masha'en ken, the large, the pata gedula goes around fully. It's surrounding the entire trachea. It goes around fully. The snare does not. Yeah, that's going to be important to keep in mind. These rings, they go around, but they don't go around the full circumference of the trachea. They go around the majority of it. Whereas the tavad gedola, it's totally going around the trachea. Okay? What else do you have to know? Yes. No, I'm looking on the next page, just in the note there, that the tabaat rings do not completely encircle the kaneh, but rather cover only most of the circumference. The back is covered by a ritsu'at basar, membrane, okay? In contrast to the tabaat gedola, is complete ring and actually thickens in width at the back of the kaneh trachea. Okay, in the picture on the bottom, you see it a little clearer. You see the ring of the Tabad Gedula. These are all rings. They stop here. They're just connected a little. and then you have the big one over on top as you get closer to the neck of the animal, or the head of the animal, you have that over there. Okay, that's basically what you have to know. You don't have to see anything else yet. So now the Gemara is going to analyze. Where are you making the Shechita? A couple of places, three places where I can technically make the Shechita without knowing any halachot yet. I can make the Shechita on the lower rings. I can make the Shechita on the top ring. I can make the Shechita in between the rings. Okay, so we have to know exactly what is the status of the Shechita when it's done over there. So I'm reading an introduction over here. Shechita makshiret beima lachila shechotechet shne simanim. Okay, kanem veshet. That's the trachea and the esophagus. By a bird, it's enough to slaughter one of them. The trachea is obviously the breathing pipe. That's connected to the lungs. Hakenu kerum shelili halul. Basically, it's a hollow pipe. Hamukaf mitzido haitzoni lechol orko betamat rabot shesus. It has cartilage. That's what the cartilage goes around it. Demuyot parsa mekifat dro vekifo mitzad esavar mitzad esnadim. Okay. But not from the inside, which means from the outside you see the cartilages. On the inside, it's opened here. And that's where the vishit, like, is snug against behind. The vishit is behind the kane. So from the slaughterer's standpoint, the cartilages are what the knife is going to hit. Whereas in the back, it's opened a little, and that's where the vishit slides in over there. Okay. הנה אחת מן ההלכות שנמנו משה מסיני, הגרמה. Oh, this is the latest word, הגרמה. What does הגרמה mean? הגרמה is, if let's say you started to slaughter in the place that's kasher for שחיטה, and at the end the knife tilted up and ended up in a place that's outside of the שחיטה zone. Right? Let's say the שחיטה zone is a certain area, right? You're good. You made the שחיטה and the knife tilted up. So the question is, when it starts in the zone, the knife, and ends out of the zone, we call that hagrama. Hagrama means to tilt, where the knife tilted, the knife slanted a little. So the Gemara, the halakha mishnah, hagrama is no good. That's a fact. Okay? So now, good. Our mishnah is going to discuss what is this shi'ud of hagrama. So we start. Hashochet mitoch atabat. Okay, that's the best place to slaughter, seemingly. Because the tabat gedolah, it's all trachea. So when you slaughter through that tabat, you're getting into the trachea itself. You're not going to lose the trachea. So they go on top. So you started from the tabat gedolah, and the knife went through it, which is okay. V'shiyer ba melo achut. Al pene kula, shchitato kesherah. Which means, towards the head of the animal, you just left meluachut, which means mashu, a drop. Meaning, you cut the rope of the siman. You cut the rope of the siman al penekula. Basically, you split it in half. You cut it in half. Shchita tokeshera. That means as long as you went through the. You went through. Now, I want to show you also the kova, because she mentioned they mentioned the kova here. Where is the kova? If you go back to your picture over here, you see over here they have the thyroid cartilage they talk about. That's number one. Okay? It's right next to the tabat gedolah. So the slaughtered across it, to cut right through it. So now it's attached to the thyroid, split it in half. So this, the right part, when you go through it, it's just going to be attached to the kova now. You open it basically. So this is connected to the kova. That's what it means. Okay? Shechita don kashira. Oh, what's the implication? But if somehow when you slaughtered through the kova, through the tabat gedolah, and the knife went up, so you ended outside, it's going to be pisula. Because you went outside the zone. I guess the top spot where you can slaughter is the tabat gedolah. So once you started the tabat gedolah, the knife ends above the top of the tabat gedolah, no good. It wasn't a straight cut. You ended up outside. So I'll read the nashis there. Hashochet mitoch atabat.
The tabat gedolah shehi elyonah lechulan ka'amar she'en tabat lemala hemen.
Right. I'm showing the tabat gedolah because that's the highest tabat. There's nothing higher than that. I mean, that's the last spot of the shechita.
ושיר בה מלוא החודה בנגולה לצד הראש שלא התהלתה לסכין.
Right, you didn't move the knife. The knife was a straight cut.
מן הטבעה לצד הראש עד שגמר כל הטבעה תפילה כשיר
החוד
כלומר לכל דהו. אבל אם קודם שגמר את כולה
הגרים את הסכין
לצד הראש ויצא מן הטבעת וגמר את השחיטה למעלה מן הטבעת שהמקום שחיטה שהיא
הגרמה
שנאמרה למשה מסיני אף על פי שנשחד רוב הקנה במקום שחיטה פסלי לבנן הוא אילו גם רוב
חדוש. Even though you cut the majority of the קנה, doesn't matter. הלכה משה מסיני יצא זק נשי מדרבנן. Interesting. הלכה משה מסיני אף על פי שצלוף קנה המקום שחיטה פסלי לבנן משה מסיני. This is pasti la banan. How's that work? How much is that? He's like the oraita. That she's a little troubling. Okay. In any event, it's going to indeed be pasul. But it sounds like how much is that? The oraita. When she says with the banan. Okay, that has to be analyzed.
It's not clear whether this prohibition is biblical or rabbinic.
So she's so terrified.
She implies that it's biblical, but
then he says the banan. Okay, that's a side point. Whether it's Minat Torah or not, but the point is again, you started on the top. You're perfect. That's the good spot to slaughter, and then it went outside the zone. No good. Okay. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Melo Achut al Pene Ruba, which means if you started the Shechita b'Tabaat Gedola, no problem, and you slaughtered the majority of it, it's Kishira, even if you made a Grama at the end. Which means, according to him, so long as Rav Siman was cut, I don't care if you end outside. So long as you got the Rav of the Tabat, you did it, that's it. Now when you're going out, it's like, yeah, done already. So now I don't care what you did what you did afterwards.
But you don't have
Hagramah
according to
him? So where's Hagramah said according to him? So we'll see. Look at that sheet. רבי יוסף
אם שיער בא מלוא חוץ השערה מן הטבעת לצד הראש על פני רוב הטבעת שחתך רוב הקנה בתוך הטבעת ומאותה הגרים
the majority went through the טבעת which is fine and then the מיעוט you didn't go fully through מרוב you went up
יצא ממנו לצד הראש וגמר השחיטה למעלה ממנה
כשרת
דברובה את כשרת
לשחיטה you went after the rob
ועידה כי כשחית
מחתך בשר בעמה הוא correct and the rest like you can't meet the deal it's for sure then you have to cut a piece of meat after it's done okay stop before you get to eat the mefashe okay so that's that now this tana we're going to see the first tana masol you don't say rubo kikulo which means according to the first tana you slaughtered rov siman tana kama you slaughtered rov siman it's just at the end what happened you went up normally you have a law of rubo kikulo not by shaita according to tana kama even though the rov was good he just the last part you went up no good second she does another as long as you got a rov of the siman cut and then the knife moved a little up you're not going to have a problem. So that's the shita, that's the machloket basically over here. We don't know where Hagrama is yet according to the second rabbi. We have to see. Okay. That's when it was straight. We know the Hagrama from Rashi. He says if you slaughtered in the Tabat and everything was good, no problem. So Rashi says, but if you slaughtered the majority, good. And then the knife moved up, that's called Akramah, going to be no good. Second rabbi says, no. So long as you get the majority of the kaneh cut, once you go up, it's like cutting basar ba'amah, then you have no problem. Shir ba'amah means that when you slaughtered it, it's being attached by a hut connected to the kova. Which means you slaughtered it, you cut it, it's detached. It's detached, it's being attached like by a... by stream, by thread, like that's the way they explain that. Melo achut, haynu shehatach chetech yashar betok atabad at shepaska kulan lishnayim. So you left a mashu attached to the kova. That's it. It's attached to the kova. You went through it the majority. It's a small area.
What was the big area?
No, well, we didn't discuss if you could slaughter lower than that. We're discussing where you have a Hagnama issue, because once you go higher than that, you're out of the zone. So what is just the border? That's it. Right, you started at the top. You can't go higher. That's why we chose that spot. The lower, there's no problem. Okay, now get what I said. Okay, that's a big one. So as long as you did draw of the Tabat Gedola, there's no problem of Agrama. Because we go Ruch, Ruboki Kudo, so is the majority. The Av Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Amar Ela Betabat Gedola. He only said his deen Betabat Gedola by the big ring on top. It's going around the whole kaneh. So when you cut through that cartilage, you're cutting through the hole of the kaneh. But when it comes to the other taba'ot, that if you cut through the lower ones, that do not go around the entire kaneh like we saw in the picture, which means even over there, lo, shaitas besulam. Because the shaita has to be done in the kaneh dafka. And these taba'ot, the lower ones, are not considered part of the kaneh because they don't encircle it totally. And therefore, you're slaughtering in a place that's not considered the shaita. Wow. Even though they're going around the majority of it, we don't say rubo kikudo in that spot over there. They'd be considered by kashir shaita. Which means, according to this rabbi, the only place that's kashir to cut on a cartilage is the taba'at gedola. Because the cartilage on top is covering the whole kaneh. So when you get the cartilage, you're getting the kaneh. Mashi'enkin in the lower area, the only place that's going to be kashir to shred is in between the cartilages, on the kaneh itself. But if you cut the cartilage directly, it's not going to be good because it's not going to cut through the kaneh, because it doesn't go around the whole of the kaneh. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ubishat taba'at lo? What are you telling me? According to the BOC, you cannot slaughter on the other taba'at? Ve'at tanya Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda omer, ha-shochet b'sh'ar taba'at. That you cut the other taba'at. Afal pi she'en makifot et kol ha-kaneh, even though they don't encircle the entire kaneh, ho'ilu makifot drov ha-kaneh, so okay, shrikato kishira. A direct contradiction. I says... That's it. That's the last question. Now continue. That was the statement of who made the statement? This was the statement of... Right, this is who made the statement? Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said, Achaked Rabbi Rabbi Yosef. Good. And then they said, and Rabbi Yosef, that's also about the Tabat Gedola. But the other Tabat, no good. What do you mean, no good? It clearly says that according to Rabbi Yosef, it's good. Now continue. Gemara is going to tell us, Umugremet Pesula. Now, if you slaughtered Rov Kaneh B'toch Tabat Gedola, then you move the knife up, it's going to be Pasul. That's kind of Kama Shita. Right? You went into the Tabat Gedola, and you moved up. Pasulah like the first Shita about Mishnah. He'id Rabbi Hananya ben Antigonus. We have a testimony from Rabbi Hananya ben Antigonus. Ala Mugremet Shehi Keshera. Oh. That he holds what? That even if you were Chotech the Kaneh, Lema'la min Tabat Gedola, it's going to be okay. He says, "Ki gam mechatzito atachton shel hakova umata kashir l'shchita." Wow, which is he holds that even above the tabat the gedola is okay to shchit. You have a little spot over there above. But what is hakramah then? That was said above that spot, above the kova. Go back to your picture for a second to see where the kova is. The kova is. Yeah, you see the kova katan over there? Well, actually the kova is, no. Kova is the thyroid. So technically, here's the, number three is the tabat gedola. Number one is higher than that, obviously. That's the kova. He says you go up to the kova. So hagrava would be anything above number one. Above the above that spot. So he's more lenient. So technically you have a little more area according to that rabbi. Okay? So that term is ala mugremet. Mugremet is kishera if you went a little above the tabat gedola, up to the kova. But above the kova, I don't really have a problem. Oh, anyway, we have a machloker over here. Make up your mind. You told me, Rabbi Ishmael. I'm sorry, you told me, Rabbi Shmuel. You said that according to the Yosef ben Yehuda, you cut on the cartilage itself, the tabaot, the lower ones, no good. And then you tell me that clearly the Bible said the lower ones, it is good. Make up your mind. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Tarte Kamar. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda really said two anachot regarding slaughtering the Kaner. Number one, where he said, if you did the majority of the Tabat Gedolah, then you moved up, it's going to be okay. Because you go to Boki Kudo. And when you did the majority of the Tabat Gedolah, that means the majority of the Kaner was slaughtered, even though you moved the knife up afterwards, it's going to be okay. And the second one he also said, is what? That if you slaughter the other Tabat, on the cartridge, since it goes around the majority of the Kaner, so it's okay also. Because you go to Boki Kudo. Means the Biosef that was lenient in both cartridges, in the Tabat Gedolah, and it was lenient in the other Tabat, based on the Shita of Rov. That so long as you went through the upper cartilage majority across, you're okay if you made a gram above. And if you went through the other cartilages, even though you didn't get the whole kaneh because it doesn't go around the whole kaneh, it's also okay. And Rav Shmuel, what they meant to say is, we take Rabbi Yosef in one of his halachot, but we don't go with him in the other halacha. I mean, we take him when it comes to the Tabat Gedolah, but we're not going to take him when it comes to the other Tabat. Kibra says, Vehalo Amar Kamre, which is Rav and Shmuel, they said beferush that they said their halakha in Rabbi Yosef. Now you're telling me no. Rabbi Yosef says something, and Rabbi Shmuel is just picking and choosing what they hold. But that's not so. Vehalo Amar Kamre, which means, what was the statement of Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel says, the Av Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi Yehuda lo amar, they're talking to Rabbi Yosef. How could you tell me that Rabbi Yosef really was lenient on the other Tabaot, and Rabbi Shmuel just picking and choosing which halakha? It doesn't sound like that's what he was saying. Because what was the language of Rabbi Shmuel? The Av Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi lo amar, he's talking what he said. So how do you read this line? The Ha lo amar ka'amre, which means lo amar Rabbi Yosef e'la. How do you learn that? So the Gemara says, "V'hachi kamar halacha kemoto betabat gedola, and halacha kemoto b'shat tabaot." Which you have to read it like this: halacha kemoto when it comes to tabat gedola, there's only just slaughtered the majority of the animal tabat gedola. Even though you made a gemara after, it's okay. And halacha kemoto b'shat tabaot. That what he said b'shat tabaot, that it's okay. And halacha kemoto. And that what it said. V'after be yosef lo amar doesn't mean he didn't say it. Lamas, we're not going to take it. Look at that, which means in the Bible said that was Matir, we are not taking it. Not that he didn't say it. He said it. But we're not going to take that. Halakha, so come down to the Bible, let's just get it clarity because it's important. Allah and Al-Khot Shaitan. Tabat Gedolah, since it encompasses the whole of the trachea, so when you slaughter that area, the majority of it, you're going to get the majority of the trachea. Either the knife moved up after, so on. According to the Bible, that even if you slaughtered the lower tabat, not the tabat itself, since the tabat encircles the majority of the kaneh, it'll also be a good shahita. Even though you didn't get the whole trachea, because the tabat does not go around the whole trachea. It's okay, it's enough. But that, and Shmuel said, we don't go like that. That part we're not going to take. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, the only place on the lower areas you have to slaughter in between the rings, where you're getting the full trachea itself. One more story. Kisalik Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Yisrael. Achal mugmedet de Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. He ate mugmedet according to Rabbi Shmuel. Mugmedet is a problem. Which means he ate an animal that was, they slaughtered on the lower rings. Where, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's called mugremet. It's not really a mugremet that we learned till now, because mugremet we learned when the knife moves up. According to this, mugremet means it was slaughtered in a place that's not good. So they brought a piece of meat. Where was it slaughtered? Oh, on the lower rings. Lower rings, according to Rabbi Shmuel, no good. He ate from it. So the Gemara says, Amri le. So the rabbis of Israel tell him, La me'atred Rabbi Shmuel at. So what do you mean? Don't you come from the place of Rav Shmuel in Bavel that they will serve this type of shaita? Amar lehu man amara. Amazing story. Who quoted this halakha over here? Which means, how do we know that Rav Shmuel ever said this? Who's the author of who brought us this halakha? He said, you know who brought it to us? Yosef Bar Hiya. Yosef bar Chaya mikula alma gamir. You can't trust him. The rabbi that brought this halacha from Rav and Shmuel from Bavel, sometimes he misquotes. He quotes all over the place. You can't trust his. So I'm not even sure Rav and Shmuel even said it, because we're only getting this testimony in where we were in Eretz Yisrael from this rabbi called Yosef bar Chaya, and he's not medakdek. He's not careful on what he says. So if I don't have to take it. What happened? The rabbi found out about it. Shama Rabbi Yosef v'ikpad. He got upset. When you don't trust me, my statements. Amar ana mikul alma gamirna. What do you mean? I just take my statements from anybody? I mean, the rabbi was saying he accepts statements from anybody. He doesn't verify. So he says, that's what I do. Ana merav Yehuda gamirna. He says, I got this Kabbalah that if you slaughter in the other Tabaot, I heard it from Rav Yehuda that said it in the name of Rav Shmuel. What, Rav Yehuda is not trustworthy? You know how precise Rav Yehuda is, that when he says a halakha, Rav Yehuda, and he's not sure which rabbi made the statement, he teaches his students, maybe it was this rabbi, maybe it was that rabbi. He's so precise. The Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Yehuda, Safek Meshemed Rav, Safek Meshemed Shmuel. He was teaching other guys, listen, it could be Rav made the statement, it could be Shmuel made the statement. Shiloshah Matirim Et HaBechor B'mkom She'en Mumchay. He was giving a halakha by a Bechor. Let's say the Bechor has a mum. Okay, but you need to bring it to the rabbis to decide if it's a mum or not, if the Kohen can eat it outside of Yerushalayim. So he taught halakha. Three simpletons, you don't have to be experts, could look at the Bechor to render it a Baal Mum, and you don't need, where there's no Mumchai, where there's no expert. Anyway, how did Rav Yehuda quote that statement? He said, listen, it's a Safek, if Rav said it, it's a Vikr Shmuel said it, which means to say, look how careful and precise Rav Yehuda is. When he says Alaka, he won't say unless he's 100% true, and if he's a Safek, he'll say the Safek. So Rav Yosef got offended. He said, you're telling me that I take statements from anywhere. That's why you don't want to trust my statement. By the way, that statement about Rav Shmuel with the cartilage on the lower part, that I heard from Rav Yehuda. And he's a very guy. Okay. So therefore we have to see then, why didn't then the Vizera, or why, so if the statement was legitimate, and the statement was verified, still the Vizera ate from the meat. Tomorrow's doubt, we have to figure out why the Bizera ate from it.
Okay, so we continue the Gemara. Let's just review what happened over here. We had a story that the Gemara told, that the Bizera, when he went from Bavel, he moved to Eretz Israel. So it says he ate Mugremet, according to Rav and Shmuel, which means, according to Rav and Shmuel, a behemah, an animal that you slaughter in one of the other tabaot. So you slaughter it over there, so it's no good. So they called it mukremet. They said that it's a bet shechita. The bizera, however, ate from that type of meat over there that according to Rav and Shmuel would be no good. So again, they told him, what do you mean? You come from Bavel. You originate from Bavel. You know, and Rav and Shmuel are the rabbis over there. And they say, it's no good. So he came on Zanana, the one that quoted that statement, you can't trust. So the rabbi that heard that said, what do you mean you can't trust me? I heard it from Rabbi Yehuda, and he's trustworthy. Okay, so the Gemara then is answering anyway, I don't come from the place. He said, Man Amra Yosef bin Barhiya. Well, you can't trust Yosef Barhiya. So Yosef Bar Chaya came along and said, what do you mean? I am trustworthy. Okay, that's what we're up to. Now the Gemara says, V'Rabbi Zera, let le notnim alav chumrei ha-makom sheyatza misham, chumrei ha-makom she'alach lesham. Which we have a general rule. When a person moves locations, let's say from one country to another country, in this case it's from Bevet to Eretz Yisrael, so he has to take upon himself the new stringencies of halakha to the new place that he gets, that he arrives to. And he has to maintain the stringencies of the place that he came from. And therefore the Gemara is asking that in Bavel, they were strict on this. They did not eat when you slaughtered it in one of the other rings, the lower rings. They didn't eat from such meat. So the Bizera whether you trust that it's coming from Rav and Shmuel or not, that's one story. But the fact is, where you came from, they were mahmin on it. That's only talking about when you go from one region in Babel to another region in Babel, city to city. Or you go from one city to Eretz Yisrael to another city. Or when you go from Israel down to Babel. Which means the people of Babel are subservient to the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael. So once you get to Eretz Yisrael, you follow the Eretz Yisrael law. You don't have to take with you the laws of Babel. Babel to Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to. But Yisrael to Babel, you're subservient to the Eretz Yisrael law still. So that was the story over here. Rabbi Zeinan now upgraded himself when he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So he's not bound anymore to the law of Babel. They were more mahmid in Babel, but they don't have to take that humrah with him. Because he moved to the place that's not subservient to Adrabah. Babel is subservient to Eretz Yisrael. You can even say that, generally speaking, you have to take on the stringencies even when you move to Eretz Yisrael. But that's only when your intention is to move back. However, Rabbi Zeinah, and Dator Lazor Hava. Rabbi Zeinah's intention was to stay in permanently. So, what's your intention is to stay in permanently? So, you detach from your original minhag, and therefore he was okay. Because the Gemara continues. Look, Amar Le'Abayel Rabbi Yosef. Veha Rabbanan, the rabbis, the Atu Memehoza. The rabbis that came from the city of Mehoza, which is in Babel. Amre, they said, Amar Bizera Mishemed Rav Nachman Mugmeret Kishera. Which means they said that a behemah that was slaughtered on one of the lower rings, okay? That's, according to Rav and Shmuel, obviously that's not Kesher in that spot over there. But they say Shchita is Kishera. Now, that's Babel again. Mehozaz in Babel. You're all assumption, oh, in Babel they were Mahmir. What are you talking about they were Mahmir? We have a statement that says in the city of Mehoza, which was in Babel, they were also lenient to make the Shechita on the lower rings. So your whole question against the Mizrah was, oh, but you came from a place that was Mahmir. What do you mean you came from a place that was Mahmir? We see in Mehoza, they were lenient as well. Amar Le, famous line that you see throughout the Poskim always, Nahara, Nahara. Ufashte, which literally means there are a lot of rivers. Nahara, Nahara, and each river goes to its place. That it flows to its area. Which means in Babel, each community or each region had their custom. So you're right, in Mehoza region, they were lenient on Hagrama. But in other regions, they were stringent on it. Every place goes according to its custom, so it's yesh v'yesh. Okay. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.